Thank you, Tim. Let's turn to Romans number 16, chapter 16, and we're going to read a few verses there. Romans chapter 16. I was thinking of a few thoughts this evening concerning sound. We have a lot of sounds in Scripture. The word sound is used in Scripture as a noun to depict the noise, a certain distinction of a noise. We think of times in the Old Testament when God used sounds in victory. Reminded at in the city of Jericho, in the victory that was won there, when the sound of the horn was heard, when the trumpet was sounded, and all the people shouted, that the great walls of the city came down. But it was the sounds that as the people responded to what God had said, as a result of the sounds in obedience to God, great victory was brought. God is looking for sounds today in your life and in mine, isn't He? Paul speaks concerning sound doctrine and sound speech and so on, which we're going to look at. Also, we can think of the sound of the mighty rushing wind at Pentecost, can't we? And the Spirit of God came as the sound of a rushing wind. What it must have been like to hear the mighty wind blowing. And cloven fire came down and came upon the people. Cloven tongues as fire came down upon the people. As the Spirit of God came and indwelt the believers, and the word was heard in all languages, must have been quite an event. It was the sound from heaven, wasn't it? And God interceding in the birth of the church was established. It was a coming together under the sound of God, through the Spirit of God. And then we can think of the sound of the trumpet that is yet to take place. We think of when we're listening for the sound of the trumpet to be blown, and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the Lord will come again and rapture His saints and take them home to be with Him for all eternity. What a great sound we have to look forward to, isn't it? To hear the sound of the trumpet again. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Just before we read this portion in Romans, let's just go to Psalms chapter 47. I read this verse today, and I thought it was an interesting verse. Psalm 47 and verse 5. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of the trumpet. Interesting verse, isn't it? God has gone up with a shout. The shout of God. But so often man is not listening, is he? To the shout of God. God's voice, the voice of a shout. He's gone up with a shout, and the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. God is seeking to awaken man, isn't He? To trying to get man's attention. Give man an opportunity to be saved. Come to know him personally and get to know him as Savior and Lord. We're listening for the trump to sound, aren't we? When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God. It's going to be a great day, and it's a blessed hope, isn't it? That one day we'll be with him. We'll be caught up together with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So there, the word is used as a noun, and there's other illustrations. And then we can think of the fact of the sounds of the ungodly, of the wicked. We can think of the time when Nebuchadnezzar, the great king of Babylon, and such a wicked king, had said to these three Hebrew men, when you hear the sound of the music, of the psaltery and the harp and so on, when you hear the sound of the music, then you're to bow down to the great image. The voice of the world that cries out to the ungodly and to the idols of the world. The sounds of the music of the ungodly. To the images of man, the gods of man made. And how sad it is. But in not responding to the sound of the music, and not bowing down to the idol, God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God incarnate, before his incarnation, he came alongside those three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his presence was there with them. I see a third man in the furnace of fire, one like unto the Son of Man. What a tremendous thing. And not obeying the command of the world, God came and he dwelt and he protected. His presence was with them. Not listening to the sounds of the world, God's presence was there with them and protected them. Wasn't even a smell of the smoke upon their garments. As they were there in the furnace of fire that was heated 7 times hotter. Tremendous illustrations of how men who stood for God and rejected the sounds of the world. And then the word sound is used as an adjective, isn't it? We're to be sound in speech and sound in doctrine and so on. And we're going to look at that aspect as well. Let's read Romans 16. And we'll begin reading at verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, simple concerning evil. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Now Paul writes to the church of Rome, and previous in this chapter he is saluting a number of the brethren and the sisters that are there for their labor in the Lord. But when we come to verse 17, we're finding that he's bringing an admonition to those in whom he could not salute. And the word salute has the thought of greeting someone. He could not salute to those who were causing divisions and offenses contrary to that which they had learned of the doctrine. And it is it was a problem that was there in Rome. There were those who were coming in and causing divisions, teaching things that were not according to the Word of God. They were teaching their own doctrine. And Paul admonishes them to avoid them, not to greet them or salute them, or to beware of them because of the false doctrine that they were teaching, or contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. We learn doctrine from studying the Word of God, don't we? Doctrine simply means teaching, isn't it? Solid, sound teaching is what doctrine should be focused around. When you can tell the value of something sometimes, or most of the time, by the sound in which the item will reflect or you can hear. You can take a piece of delicate china, and just in handling it, and when it touches the saucer and you hear the ring of it, that tells you the value of that china, doesn't it? You can take an item that may be made of metal, and just by tapping the metal with something, you can tell the value of it. Just by the sound of the ring of the metal, whether can tell you whether it's of value or not. And you know, it's the sounds that we hear, the sound of true doctrine, that builds value in our life. And it gives us if there's true doctrine there, there's going to be soundness, isn't there? There's going to be a real foundation in our life if there's true doctrine. We learn, understand, or we study doctrine in the Word of God. As we study the Scriptures and read them day by day, we learn doctrine. We learn by others too, don't we? Other men who teach the Word of God. God has gifted them in being able to expound the Scriptures simply so that we can understand and bring things into focus from the Word of God. And that's how we learn, isn't it? And it's, we hear the so many things about us, but that are not sound according to the Word of God. They do not present the value that we see in the Word of God. And those are the ones that Paul is warning them against. Now, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Second Timothy chapter 3. But continue thou in verse 14, I'm sorry. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. When we learn from the feet of someone, there's assurance that it gives, isn't it? When we learn at the feet of the Lord Jesus, there's assurance that He gives. We're assured of because we know the source. We know the soundness of the source. No other place can we learn and be assured of doctrine than at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, is it? We sit at the feet of other men who humbly and simply expound sound doctrine. But there's an assurance that it gives. Paul is speaking to Timothy, and he says, you've learned sound doctrine, and you've been assured of. And there's great assurance that sound doctrine brings. I remember when I was studying in Bible school, you go to classes, and as you would go to different classes and taking up different subjects, you know, there was great assurance in knowing that these teachers were teaching the Word of God, were real men of God. They were sound men. They presented it in their life. They presented it in their actions, in their words. And you know, it was great assurance. It was an encouragement as students under them that we were assured of. And it's great assurance to us. And then Paul says, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Knowing of where the source is. And Paul, of course, was a man whom God had chosen, a chosen vessel. A man who the Lord had chose as one out of due time. He was a man who met the Lord face to face on the road to Damascus. He was a man whom God had taught in the desert. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel. And you know, also when we think of Timothy, as Paul had discipled Timothy, we can think of in the life of Timothy of his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice that taught him. And Paul says to be reminded of those whom he had known who had taught him sound doctrine. And those are the things that would help Timothy to continue on and to study the Word and stick to the Word of God and not give up, but to continue on. So we see that sound doctrine is learned through simply sound teaching, sound admonition of the Word of God. And we see that that we're to discern these things. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. A natural man of the world can't understand the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. There's no discerning of spiritual things. But he that is spiritual judges all things, or he discerns all things, doesn't he? Yet he himself is judged of no man. There's a discerning that we're to have in studying sound doctrine. We're to discern what is sound and what is not. What is real and what is not. And Paul says that we truly, spiritually, desire to know sound doctrine. That is through the Spirit of God, as we depend on the Spirit of God, and as we discern things from Scripture, can we grow and in sound doctrine. So Paul is warning them concerning those that were causing divisions, those that were causing offenses, were teaching doctrine that was contrary to the Word of God. Not only was there different in doctrine, they were different in service. Notice verse 18. For they are such that serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly or appetites, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Characteristic of the last days of is seen, as Paul says in 2 Timothy, that men would be deceived. Men and women would be deceived. There would be a falling away from the truth. And we see that in the world today. People who profess to be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth, but yet become deceived by the teaching, the false teaching of the world. And we need to be on guard, because we're living in a world of deception, aren't we? God wants us to be sound and not be brought into deceit. Notice that they're serving themselves. They're serving their own appetites. They're not serving the Lord Jesus. And you know, it's a characteristic of a deceitful person, isn't it? One who puts up a false image. And the deceit is that they're not really serving the Lord Jesus. They may put on that they are. In a malicious way, they're serving themselves, aren't they? Reminded of the rich fool who had a bountiful crop. And he was blessed with more than he could handle. And he tore down his barns and built bigger, that he might store in the bountiful crop. When it came to his soul, when he came to the eternal things, what if tonight thy soul would be required of thee? And he said, I've laid up treasures for myself. Those who store up treasures for himself is not rich towards God. And there's a lot of storing up for ourselves today. I'm afraid the riches of God is moved to the side, and there's great storing for the man's own self today. Serving himself and not the Lord. Selfishness in service. And Paul was reminding them that they're not sound in service. They weren't sound in doctrine, and they weren't sound in service. They were deceiving the hearts of the simple. And the simple has the thought of a person who is single-minded with one goal in mind, that the Lord was preeminent, first in their life. The simple faith and simple believing in God, and seeking to know His Word and to do His will. They were seeking to deceive the hearts of the simple, those that were faithful. Now notice in verse 19, for your obedience has come abroad unto all men, and I am glad therefore in your behalf, I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Mind of the fact that the wisdom of the good and the simple concerning the evil. What a great admonition, isn't it, to us? To be wise unto what is good. To have wisdom to discern what is good. Let's go to First Corinthians chapter 2. I'm just going to break in verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom amongst them that are mature, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world, could come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, and even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they have known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. When Paul came to Rome, he desired not to come in his own wisdom, or in his own words, or enticing words of man. But he wanted to come in the demonstration of the Spirit and power and the wisdom of God. And Paul knew that in Corinth was a lot of men who were seeking to promote the wisdom of the world. And they were turning to the wisdom of man. And Paul was reminding them that we're to turn to the wisdom of God to find the good and the proper. It's by the Spirit of God and by the unction of the Spirit of God can they know the wisdom of God. We're to be wise concerning that which is good. We're to know the wisdom of God in discerning the good. And simple concerning evil. To have a single-mindedness concerning evil. To have in resisting evil, to be quick to resist, to be simple concerning evil. And, you know, we see it as great exhortation to us, because these men were coming to divide the believers there and bringing in their own wisdom and their own teaching. Paul reminded them that of the wisdom of God in that which is good and the simplicity in that which is evil. And we see that it was done by the words of man. In verse 18, at good words and fair speeches. And I think one of the ways to deceive believers is by watering down what God says about good and evil. Began right in at the time when man began, how the test of man of good and evil was brought. It's by good words and fair speeches is evil and good compromised today. It's the wisdom of man that waters down what God says about good and evil. Let's go to I believe it's 2 Timothy. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go to Titus 3, verse 8 first. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That's what God is looking for, isn't he? Sound speech. Oh, these men had good words, enticing words, fair speeches, but they were only deceiving the saints. They weren't sound speech, soundness of speech. And men of that nature will be condemned before God. But see, a soundness of speech, you won't be condemned. If our speech is sound before God. The result of soundness of speech, those of the adversaries would be ashamed. Because it's a simple word of God, isn't it, that is being taught. It's His word and not the words of man. Soundness of speech is what God is looking for. And then we find in verse 20, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. When is that going to take place? God of peace. What we need today is the sound of the peace of God, isn't it? We need the sound of the peace of God. We're living in a world of trouble and turmoil, and the church today, faced with so much compromise and teaching of man's own wisdom, and man's ideas, which brings unrest and divisions and offenses. What we need is a sound of peace ringing in our midst, isn't it? I think Tim had one of the songs. The first song was concerning the peace that he began with. I forget the name of the song. But we're to hear and listen for the sounds of peace of God in our hearts. What great assurance it would give to us to hear the sounds of the peace of God. Paul reminds them that Satan is going to be bruised under the feet of the Lord Jesus, isn't he? He's going to be brought to his end. The Lord Jesus is going to reign in peace. And Satan will be judged and will ultimately be cast into the fiery furnace forever and ever. And Satan will be bruised under the feet of the Lord Jesus. His power and might will ultimately be destroyed. And the Lord Himself will reign throughout all eternity. The Lord will be supreme. The God of peace, the sounds of peace, will reign throughout all eternity. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. for the sake of time, verse 9. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The sounds of the peace of God will be with you. And it's great to know that His peace will be with you. Prerequisites to that is found in verse 8, and you can read those. But His peace will be with you. Not only will His peace reign, Satan will ultimately be bruised under His feet. But His peace is with us now. And so often we don't listen to the sounds of peace that God wants us to hear. His peace will be with us. And Paul reminds them that His peace will be ever with them. And then in Hebrews 13, and verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work, to do His will, working in you that which is well pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The God of peace. The sounds of peace will be with us. But He'll make you perfect in every good work to do His will. He'll make you maturing. He'll cause you to learn and to mature and to grow in sound doctrine, to do His will. Be working in you is well pleasing in His sight. He's working in you and I, isn't He? And the sounds of the peace of God that He wants to reign in our life, in each of our lives, will bring maturity, will be bringing well-pleasing in the sight of God as we do His will and as we submit to Him. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. What a glorious day it will be when we'll be with Him face to face. We'll be in His presence. And the sounds of peace will be ever magnified as we're there in His presence, as we enjoy Him throughout all eternity. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we do thank You for Your word. We thank You for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, though the world is crying in so many different ways and so many sounds that was heard, Father, we thank Thee for the sound that can be heard of salvation. Now God wants to redeem and to draw men to Himself. And Father, we thank Thee for the fact that we've heard the joyful sound that Jesus saves. And Father, we thank Thee for our obedience and our faith and trust we put in Him. And we have entered into the peace of God. We entered into the rest by faith, enjoying Him. And Father, help us to continue to grow and to study Your word and become established and to become mature in the things of Your word, so we can stand for You and in a simple way, and as a simple childlike faith, we can seek to live for You and to please You. Help us, we pray. We thank You for Your word. In Christ's name, amen.